just pray that your Holy Spirit will dominate this moment. Lord, I pray that the next few minutes will glorify you. I pray that the hearts, Lord, will be open to your word. I pray that you'll speak to the very need in each heart. Give us liberty to serve you, Father. Illuminate our minds to understand you and to understand your will in our lives. Give us words that will break the very bondages that Satan would put upon us. Give us words and revelations that will bring down the strongholds in our life. Lord, we commit ourselves unto thee as the faithful creator. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians 6 and 16. Ephesians 6 and 16. Praise the Lord. Here in Ephesians 6 and 16, the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, it says. Now before this, it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take unto yourselves the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all to stand. Encouraging us to be strong. Encourage us to get ready for the battle. Warning us about an evil day that will come upon us. I believe there's many types of evil days that come upon us. Every one of us have evil days that confront us in this life. That evil day might be a day when your marriage is on the rocks. That evil day might be a day when you're confronted with a temptation. That evil day might be a day that finances have driven you to the very end of your wit. That evil day may be when Satan has set a trap for your body and you find yourself sickened. There's many types of evil days that we face in this life. And the Bible says here, above all the armor that God has given us, let's have a shield of faith, something supernatural that's been implanted in our hearts by God Almighty. We try to understand what the word faith means. We look in the Greek scriptures that the Bible was first inspired into, and we see words that indicates that faith is a support. That faith is a type of understanding. That faith is something that empowers us. But I don't believe that man has words that can really describe that supernatural faith that God gives. All these terms describe what faith does for us. But I don't believe there's a word that can capture what faith means in its very deep essence. There's something supernatural God has implanted within us. And that supernatural power, that supernatural support is something that I don't believe we've even tapped into hardly any in this generation. We have a lot talked about faith. We have many that shout about faith. We have many things done in the name of faith. But I believe that all we've seen is a smokescreen, just a very minute aspect of what faith really is. When we see faith starting to really move in the hearts of Christians, we're going to see lives transformed. We're going to see sin cleansed from lives. We're going to see people that sold out for Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to see people who can stand in the face of persecution. We're going to see people who have discipline over their lives. We're going to see people that has discipline over their lives to the point that they can love the unlovable. Amen. When we see faith blooming in this generation, then it's, and I believe we're very possibly could be living in the last generation of the age. It seems that Jesus prophesied to this day. And it's such an important piece of the armor, a shield against the fiery missiles of Satan. Fiery. How many of you like to play with fire? Anybody? How many like to touch fire? Uh-oh, we've got a couple here. How many of you like to stand in fire? How many of you like to have fire upon your body? I tell you what, fire is one of the most frightening things that we can face in this life physically, isn't it? When I see the pictures of people that have been burnt by fire, it sickens my heart. When I see little kids' skin being burnt off of them, it sickens my heart. I'll be honest with you, I do not like fire when it comes to tangling with it. How about you? And God chooses a word here to describe a spiritual thing. He chooses something in the physical realm called fire to try to help us understand the fury of Satan and the harm that Satan can bring into our lives if we're not wise. And then he uses the word dart, or in the Greek scriptures it could be called a missile. You know, a missile goes very fast, very direct. It's pretty hard to stop a missile. The United States is trying to develop missiles, can shoot down missiles, and it's difficult. It'd be very difficult today if I shot an arrow at you for you to catch it, wouldn't it, to stop it? He uses the word missile to let us know just how Satan is so precise and so deceptive and when he shoots at us psychologically and spiritually. And it says up in verse 11 that it's really a deception or a wile. It calls it in the King James scriptures, or a scheme. It's a scheme. It's a plan. It's a method. His missiles are deceptions against your mind. The battle is in the mind. The battleground is in your mind. If Satan can deceive your mind, he can have your body. If Satan can deceive your mind, he can have your life. He can use you as a weapon of Satan, a weapon of evil, if he can only deceive your mind. God has given us a fantastic, magnificent mind. But our mind is vulnerable to the deception of Satan. And the Bible says that faith is a very important aspect that we need. A tool that we need, like a shield, to protect our mind from deception. Most of you here today are not being all that you can be in Christ because you have been deceived in some way or another. You have been limited in some way or another. Somehow Satan has deceived you to make you think you can't do more than what you're doing. Somehow he has caused fear to come into your heart. He has set insecurities in your soul. And we're sitting back as little wimps sitting on the pews when we should be the mighty Davids of the 20th century. We let people die around us and divorces all around us and mental sickness and drugs and all the things that's happening to our friends because we have been deceived into thinking that we cannot combat it and stop it. And the agony that we have in our own lives, the Satan even steals our own precious children from us. And we let them because we've been deceived. The Bible says that Satan has deceived the whole world. It says that in Revelation, I believe, chapter 12, around verse 6 somewhere, that Satan has deceived the whole world. Now, some would say that's doctrines, and it may be so, but the greatest deception Satan has put upon the children of God is in the very mind of the children of God on what they can do and they can't do. And it's the power that lies within their lives. That's the great deception. It keeps us from loving people. Because we don't feel like that we can. We feel like there's so much pain in our lives that we can't. We're so uncomfortable to love the unlovable that we're deceived into thinking that we can't do that. We're deceived into thinking that we can't work it out with our husband or wife. We're deceived into thinking there's no way to reach our children. We're deceived into thinking there's no way to reach mom or dad. We're deceived into thinking that we can't stop the dying from dying early. God doesn't take people. Only in few occasions is God responsible for death. Death before the right time is from Satan. It's not from God. And they slip through our fingers because we're being deceived. I tell you what, tonight, I'm tired of deception, aren't you? We need to understand faith. We need to understand deception. And we need to understand how faith can come against this deceiving Satan. Amen. I'm going to give you just a 4 or 5 points that God gave me tonight on the greatest ways that Satan deceives the children of God. These are important ways that Satan comes to deceive you. And when he deceives you in these areas, then he can keep you down. Keeping you making mistakes that cause your life to be wasted. The first way is that he attacks your attitude towards yourself. The greatest tool that Satan has is self-deception. He deceives you about yourself. Most everyone that I talk to has some type of a complex, some type of a neurosis, some type of an inferior feeling. Most people see themselves in a lesser way than God sees them. Most of you sitting out there today have been deceived. You're sitting there and you don't think you can get rid of the problems in your heart and in your mind and in your emotions. Some of you have been through terrible things. Some of you have been wounded by Satan in the family and in the job and in different places. You've been abused. You've been molested. Many of you have experienced these things. You've had parents that have abused you. You've had people that abuse you. And in all of this, Satan has used that to come to you and to deceive you about yourself. You don't see yourself as being the Esther of the Old Testament. You don't see yourself as being the Peter of the New Testament. You don't see yourself able to shake the chains of personality defects, of insecurities, and fears. You can't see yourself walking above it and loving that husband anyway, loving that wife anyway, loving that girlfriend anyway, loving that enemy anyway. You can't see yourself coping with the circumstances around you. Let me ask you something. Do we serve a mighty God or don't we? Do you tell me that God cannot give you the supernatural power to cope with any circumstances that may come in your life? Yes, he can. Are you telling me that God cannot give you the supernatural power to change personalities around you? Yes, he can. But people have their own will. Most people's wills hang in the balance. Most people would serve God if they only could have someone touch their life in a way that give them some kind of a hope. People are looking to see Christ in people. Amen? People are looking to see a glimpse of Jesus Christ in other people. And when they see a glimpse of Jesus Christ in people around them, it gives them hope to let their will be lunged forward towards God Almighty. People are looking for Christ in you. Amen? And Satan deceives you about yourself. He causes you to doubt your motives. He says, you don't really want to be a Christian. He confuses you because you have many emotions and you have desires of the flesh that has been programmed into you as a child. And you feel these desires and you feel these temptations and you feel these wrong urges within you. How many of you battle with fleshy feelings on the inside sometimes? Afraid to raise your hand, huh? There's all kinds of fleshy feelings. If it be anger, the wrong kind of anger. If it be lust, if it be a temper, whatever, maybe a bad attitude. There's all kinds of things that the flesh has been programmed to feel. And then the Satan comes and tells you that you really don't want to be a Christian because you have all these feelings inside of you. He lets you think that maybe you're not a sincere Christian. He makes you believe that there's something inside you that's basically defective and that you really are never going to really give it all you have. How many's ever felt that way? It's a lie. It's a lie of Satan. I believe everyone here tonight really wants to serve God. I believe in your spiritual nature that God has given you. You want to serve God Almighty. But Satan deceives you about yourself. If he can deceive you about yourself, there's hardly anywhere we can go. The Bible says, love others as you'd have them to love you. That's a little paraphrase. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But it's the same thing, isn't it? Love others as you'd have them to love you. If you don't love self, you don't believe in self, how can you ever treat anybody else right? Most people who treat people wrong is because they have a bad attitude towards self. They don't believe in self. People who go around puffed up with pride, those are people who think less of themselves. Did you know that? People who are proud and they go around showing off all the time and they trying to make a big scene are the people who think the very less of themselves. And we need to stop Satan from deceiving us. How can we do that? 1 John 3:20 gives us an answer. 1 John 3:20. Praise the Lord. Here in 1 John 3:20 it tells us, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth us not, then we have confidence towards God." We condemn ourselves in our heart. So how can faith help us? When you think that you're no good, when you think you can't do it, when you think you got a divided mind, when you think, well, I don't know, I'm pretty bitter on the inside. I don't know if I can overcome these things. I don't think I'm basically good. And when you start thinking of all these things, the Bible says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Isn't that neat? Even if I get down on myself and I can't believe in myself and I just, my conscience is killing me. Not the conscience God has given us, but the conscience man has given us. Did you know that? Did you know you got two consciences at least? Remember that sermon I preached on that? One conscience is what God gives us down deep within the spiritual man. The other conscience is what man teaches us. And we go around condemning ourselves. But see, if we activate faith in our life, if we believe God is faithful, then God can overcome even a conscience within us that's been defiled. If you've got a wrong attitude towards yourself, you release your faith towards God, it'll help you feel better about self. How? It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are the workmanship of God. Amen? Once I've committed myself into the arms of Jesus Christ, once I've received Christ into my heart, then God takes over the responsibility of transforming my life. And he will use whatever means it takes to do that, as long as I leave my trust in him. And if we will activate our faith towards God and give him the credit for who he is, God is faithful. God is greater than any problem, any condemnation I might feel. God is greater than even my poor attitude towards myself. Amen? No, but you got to activate that faith. You got to confess it. You've got to put your mind upon it. You've got to let this rule your mind. You can do it. All you've got to do is release it in the confession and into your actions. And you'll have a great power within you that will propel you towards God. You'll behold the mightiness of God and the faithfulness of God. Amen? This is how faith can block that missile that comes against our self-attitude. Because as soon as the devil gets us down on ourselves and we can't believe in self, we say, wait a minute, I am the workmanship of God. I am the workmanship of God. And God doesn't make trash. Amen? God doesn't fail. God will do what it takes in my life. We've got to stop Satan from deceiving us. He comes against us and tells us we cannot make it. There's no way. We've tried so long. How many of you feel like you've just been a Christian forever, it seems like? Anybody? And you don't see it happen. You say, well, it hasn't happened in the last 10 years. It hasn't happened in the last 20 years. I've prayed. I've tried. I just don't think I can do it. The Bible tells us in Romans 14:4, he is able to make us stand. That's a promise from God Almighty. Let faith propel you into that understanding. That he's able to make you stand. Philippians 1:6 says, he began a work in you. He'll perform it. Kevin, he'll perform it. You can count on it. You've got to use that faith in God's ability to perform his work in your life to keep you from thinking that you're not going to make it. Because there's no way you can do it. No way you can control your temper. There's no way that you can make it right. You see? There's no way you can put up with your parents. There's no way you can put up with people. They can't do it. Yes, you can. The Bible says you can. Because God is the one that's going to do it. Amen? 1 Peter 1:5 says you're kept by the power of God through what? Through faith. That's how the power of God keeps you. It's through faith. So the first way he comes against us is through our attitude towards ourselves. The second way he comes against us is our faith in the church. That's the second greatest way that Satan deceives the people of God, is to make you think that God cannot purify and cleanse the church. That the church is full of hypocrites, and everybody in the church seems to hurt you more than anybody else once you've been there for a while. You know, how many's ever felt that way? Well, I don't expect it from the church. I mean, the people of the world I expect it from. But I don't expect it from those who I love the most. So Satan comes to you and makes you believe that the church will never make it. That the church you belong to will never be all that God says it'll be. You lose faith in the power of God's church. Because there is a tremendous power in God's church. Amen? The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. God said he would build the church. Amen? So we let faith come against that lie of Satan that the church is going to fail you. That the church isn't going to be that dynamic force. That there's just no way it's going to work in the church. You come against that with faith, and the faith says this: God is faithful. That he is able to build a church. And you look around, and Satan tells us that God's not able to build a church. It's going to be weak. It's going to be full of gossipers. It's going to be a lot of trouble in the church. So we don't really plug in and draw from it. We stand back. Again, we've got to let that faith in God as being the Almighty Creator, faithful is he, to be the shield to stop that thought, stop that deception from entering your mind and causing you to pull back away from people and not be all that you should be in the church because you feel like it's futile. So the great attack against our minds is through the church or toward the church. And that's so important that doesn't happen, because you will not have strength outside of a church that's fallen God. In Ephesians 4, 12 and 16 through there, it tells us that all the members of the church are joints and they supply something. That you need it. You can't be strong without it. And if the devil can deceive you in your attitude towards the church, you'll be weak. Number three. But another way that Satan comes against us, he tells us that living the right way doesn't pay off. Satan says living the right way doesn't pay off. How many of you have felt like in the past at some time or another that you've tried living the right way and in a short range it just didn't seem like it paid off? How many's ever felt that way? Yeah. Man, I've been paying my tithe, I'm still broke. How many's ever thought that? I've been praying and it's still all messed up. How many's ever thought that? I've been reading the Bible and listening to tapes and I'm still having trouble. How many's ever thought that? Yeah. The devil comes your way and he lies to you. He tells you that the right way doesn't pay off. Again, we've got to let faith come as a shield against that. We may not have seen it in our lives so far, but God Almighty says there's only one way that leads to life and life more abundantly. And there is a way. God sticks his reputation on it. Doesn't he? God says that he will not be mocked, that whatsoever you reap, you're going to reap. Amen? God sticks his reputation on it. So how can we come against that thought? Oh, it doesn't pay off. We're inside. We allow that faith to come up, that deep faith that God's put it within us. And all of a sudden, we have a power within us that refuses to give in to that thought. We come back and we say, now, wait a minute. I'm not dead yet. Until I'm in the grave, you can't tell me it ain't going to pay. I believe that I will reap what I sow. And I may not understand what's taking place in my life. I may not believe in self. I may have trouble believing in the church. I may have trouble believing in anything. But I know God is faithful. I know God is great. And you've got to let that faith come up inside of you and let it put you into action. You don't just sit back and think, well, yeah, it's going to work. You know, it's going to work. You know, you say, yeah, it's going to work if I have to get out there and make it work. God in me. I'll have faith. If others don't, I'll have it. I'll have the faith. Amen. Just one thing I like about faith is contagious. Amen. It's contagious. You get around somebody. Mary, guess what? You're going to make it. She believes it. Right, Mary? How many times have we been there and talked to each other? Hey, amen. We sit there in that chair, and Mary's saying, wow, man, I don't know about that Chris. I don't know about that boy. I love him. But man, it's rough. Have you seen an improvement in Chris lately? Amen. Give God a hand clap offering. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, Chris, I tell you what. You talk about fire, man. Sometimes the fire would burn in his eyes. The temper would burn in his soul. And everyone kept saying, he'll never get rid of that temper. I would tell you what, watch out. He's a madman. But all of a sudden, Chris says, man, it's easy to do what's right. That's what he told me the other day. He said, man, it's easy to hold your temper back. Now, of course, he's going to be tried and tested. But I believe he'll stand up under it. And if he trips and falls, I believe he's going to have faith propelling right up. Amen. But see, I told her, because the faith came out. The faith became contagious. I said, listen here, it'll happen. It just takes a little what? How many's heard me say that? Anybody ever got hurt or tired of me hearing me say that? Yeah, okay. Just takes a little time. Well, Mike, it's been 4 years. Well, just a little time. But the deal is that faith is contagious. People are down and out because the devil has deceived them through circumstances. And they need someone to go take their hand and say, Mike, you're going to make it, buddy. Right? Mike came over last night, didn't you, Mike? Was it last night? And, man, I tell you what, the devil's been hitting you right and left, hasn't he? And Mike, I tell you what, Mike's a swell guy, and he's usually got a big smile on his face, but last night his smile was upside down, wasn't it, Mike? The devil had worked him over, and he sat down in that chair, and he said, man, I just needed someone to talk to. But you see, faith is contagious. Mike's not going to give up, are you? That faith is going to cause Mike to stand firm in the face of Satan. He's going to get his shield out. And when those fiery darts come his way and say, man, you're not going to make it, he's going to go, toom, toom. Amen? And he's going to get into action. Amen? Praise God. Another way that Satan deceives us is that we stop believing in other people. Now, we said the church as a whole. Now we're talking about people in general. The devil will make you believe you can't believe in anybody anymore. I just can't believe in anybody. I mean, everyone's messed up. Everybody treats me wrong. How many's ever felt that way? Yeah. And you stop believing in people. Satan wants to divide you from people because you need people. And you get disappointed in people. How many's really got disappointed in people? Amen. Listen. Don't let Satan deceive you. You can believe in people because you can believe in God. And God creates people and he dwells in people and people are his holy temple. You can believe in people. Maybe you've lived 30 years and you say, yeah, but 30 years I haven't. Well, you haven't seen nothing yet. It's not over yet. Amen? It's not over yet. When Hitler struck out across Europe, and he took all of Europe, and he pushed into Russia and took a good part of Russia. He pushed into North Africa and took a lot of North Africa. The world was saying, oh, no. And Japan comes in and bombs Pearl Harbor, takes part of China, takes all the islands out in the Pacific. And, man, the world was been on a squeeze, and it looked like that the evil was coming, but it wasn't over yet. Because there's people in the United States and a few other places that had determination. They had faith. They believed that they could push back the evil darkness. They believed they could bring that satanic leader down, that Antichrist. They thought they could. They believed they could bring him down, a type of Antichrist. And what happened? They did, because it wasn't over yet, and it's not over yet. And listen, why don't you let it start in you? Why don't you be that one that catches a good case of faith? Okay? You ever catch a cold? Ever had the flu? What you need to catch is some faith. You already got it. Just let it come out. Amen? Be that dynamic person. Push on. Behold God. Behold his power. Behold his promises. Behold who he is. And push in and get active. Amen? This is something God wanted me to hammer on tonight. And hammer on again and again and again. We've got to let faith become activated within us. Surely, I know that you believe that everything in the learning center is just running great. I know that you believe all the teachers know exactly what they're doing. I know that you believe all those perfect little angel students there. It's not exactly what you feel, is it? Sometimes you feel like there's no hope. Sometimes you feel like it's a battleground in there. It is. Sometimes you think people don't know what they're doing. They don't. But why sit back and moan and groan and let Satan deceive your mind and get you down and out and say, oh, whoa, it's me. Why don't you put on a Superman outfit? I hope you do this. Come in here with your cape on. Wouldn't she look cute? She come here like that. And say, dun, 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 I believe I will be the one that will stand. And you walk around that learning center and you see some teacher dragging her chin on her shoelaces. You say, hold it. Let me pick up your chin. Amen. You'll grab someone, you pray for them, you say, come on, Ginger, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you're a child of the King. Amen? You'll go up to one of these students, Christina's standing over here, and man, she's sitting there, and it seems like that she's overwhelmed in the mathematics, and she's overwhelmed in the English, and she says, wow. You come up to her and say, sweetheart, you can do it. You can do greater than you've ever imagined. Amen? You see what I'm talking about? Why don't you be that electrifying force in that learning center? Amen. It only takes one good person to turn the world upside down, doesn't it? Didn't it start with one? Didn't it start with Christ? It spread to 12 and then 120 and on and on and on? Let's be that one. Amen. Let's be that one. Let faith be activated within you. Ray, let's be that. Man, I tell you what, right now you're facing all kinds of things. When the devil comes in like a flood, let God lift up a standard. You say, hey, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to believe that he's faithful, Grandma. I'm going to believe that he's mightier than any problem I've got, and I'm going to keep right in there. I'm going to stay there to the day I die. I'm not going to stop believing. That kind of faith will bring about results. That kind of faith will let God do a little whittling on the soul. Because maybe there's some things in our lives that's keeping things from happening right. And God will be able to transform. Amen? Praise God. Well, are you asleep yet? Praise God.